Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to our studies in the book of Romans, and we're dealing here with the introduction to the book in the first 17 verses of the first chapter. And we're right on down now through to verses 14 through 17. But before I read these verses, again, may I remind you of Paul's great desire. I just feel like saying a word again about this question of Paul's desire. In verses 7 to 10, his prayer of thanksgiving, how he thanked the Lord for their faith and how he was unceasing in his prayer for them. And then his great desire was that he might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to them, though God gave to him a perilous journey. But the will of God was manifested, and the will of God was, and the purpose of God was consummated in what he did. But his great yearning was twofold. He wanted to establish them in the gospel. For what purpose? That by their mutual faith, he would be comforted, and they were to be established. Now you'll notice in the first two or three verses of the chapter, Paul starts with the dignity he had of an apostle from a risen Christ, and his message was concerning a person. But now he's one with these Roman Christians whom he has never seen. He's one with them in faith and in fellowship, and he's yearning for them as they share together their knowledge of Christ. He wants to impart to them some spiritual gift to the end they may be established. That is, he's going to give to them more of the Word of God, because one is only established from the Word of God. You're not established on experiences. You're established through the Word of God. As Paul could say in Romans chapter 16, "Now unto him who is able to establish you according to my gospel." That is, it's through the Word of God, the revelation of God given to us in his Word, that causes us to be established in the faith. But as we share together what we do know about Christ, what we do know about the Word of God, we not only edify each other, but we comfort each other. And then we recognize this man wanted fruit among them. He wanted to establish them. He wanted to edify them. He wanted to comfort them. But he also wanted to have some fruit among them as among other Gentiles. That is, he was not only one to edify God's people, but he's a real soul winner. My, how this man yearned for souls. "I would like to come to the great metropolis of Rome, and I'd like to go there and win souls for Christ." You see, there was a hint here when you come to the 15th verse when he said, "As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. There was a thought here that it's all right for Paul to go down to some of these out-of-way places and preach the gospel, or even go down to some of these colonies like Philippi, or even to Ephesus or Corinth, but to come to the great metropolis of Rome, where the senators are and where Caesar is, and the heart of the empire, the pulse of the empire." And Paul says, "That's where I want to be, right in the very center of the empire. I'm not ashamed. I want to bring the gospel to you. I want fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles." You can just see the passion of this man's heart. May God give to you and to me some of that same passion. That yearning to come with God's people and bring them before God in prayer. Remember, they are the beloved of God, and as the beloved of God, we should love them, and then pray for them, and then yearn to build them up in the faith, and to comfort them, and to encourage them, and to edify them. And then added to that, so that I can go out and win some more souls for Christ. Now we come to his tremendous responsibility. And verses 14 to 17, you have this amazing passage in the book of Romans chapter 1. Let me read it to you. And my danger here, I want to preach when I get to these verses. Listen to it. "I am debtor both to the Greeks," that is to the Gentiles, "and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance, to every one that believeth, to to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in this gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, let me get a word to this. First of all, in verse 14, his obligation. His obligation. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. In other words, I owe the gospel to everybody, everywhere, that they might see in Jesus Christ, the one who is the only Savior from sin. And I want to say this very sadly. The Church of Jesus Christ has failed in reaching each generation with the Word of God. I can't reach the past generation with the Word. I can't reach the future generation. But I am responsible, and you are responsible, to reach our generation in which we live with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm obligated. I have a responsibility committed to me to reach everyone I can find with God's message. I'm a debtor, not only to the wise, not only to the Greeks, nor to the barbarians on the outside, these pagans, these idolaters, these unlearned people. I owe the gospel to people on the campus of our universities. I owe the gospel to the men on the streets. I owe the gospel to any neighborhood. This is true of all Christians. May I say, my Christian friend, God has put you where you live for a purpose, and God has put me where I live for a purpose. What's that purpose? To reach people with the Word of God by my life as well as by my testimony. It's a wonderful thing to come and sit down with somebody, and for the first time they've heard the Word of God, they accept the Savior. Oh, I love that. But when you meet people who oppose you over and over and over and over again, the danger is you want to go after somebody else. No, you live before them. They remember Christ died for them too. Remember everyone to whom you witness. It's a prospective child of God, is a prospective saint of God. And God still loves them. I want you to keep this in mind. God still loves them. He still yearns over men and women to accept his Son. It's true. It's true. The day is coming when he's going to come in judgment. But we're still living in the day of grace, and as long as we are living in the day of grace before the judgment and wrath of God fall upon men, we have an obligation. We have a responsibility. Says Paul, I'm obligated. I'm a debtor. I have an obligation to Greeks and to barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. That's why you could say in Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 to 17, a dispensation of the gospel, a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. Woe, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. To who? Anybody and everybody, wherever they are. I say again, sadly, how we have failed in this matter. Do you know, I was speaking to a group the other day, and I made the statement, if we did what we expect our missionaries to do on the mission field, we would evangelize America in a very brief space of time. When we send our missionaries out to the different parts of the world, we expect them to go out there representing the Savior. You expect them to spend all their lifetime doing one thing, winning people to Christ, building up the saints of God, to be everlastingly at it. How much do you do at home? You're a missionary in your district, with your friends, with your families. Where do we fail? Oh, how we have failed. How the church in America has failed. Instead of America being drawn closer and closer to God, it's going in the opposite direction. Instead of our lives being spiritual, they've become secular. Instead of having a passion for God and for men, We have a passion for material things. I say this very kindly. I'm one with you. Oh, how we, including myself, how we have failed to do the job that God wants us to do. God has committed to us, to you and to me, a responsibility. Verse 14 says we are debtors. We're debtors. We've got an obligation to meet. May we meet our obligation the best way we know how. See, Mr. Mitchell, I can't preach. I'm not asking you to preach. I'm asking you to live Christ. I'm asking you to live like one who belongs to the Savior. Act toward your neighbors as those, as people you love. God can put in your heart, in my heart, divine love, as you have in Romans 5:5, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Try to love them. Try to love them. And first thing you know, you will be loving them. And barriers will be broken down. Believe me, I'm preaching to myself. I'm not talking to you. I said I was going to start and preach, didn't I? I want to tell you about this. We're debtors. Now notice the next thing about it. In verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready. Now here is his yieldedness. As much as in me is, I am ready. Notice in 14, I am a debtor. I call these the three I ams, by the way. 14, 15, and 7, and 16. I am a debtor. That's my stewardship. That's my obligation. Now, as much as in me is, I am ready. Ready to do all I can to discharge my obligation. Now, God doesn't ask you to do what you can't do. He doesn't ask you to give what you don't have to give. He just asks you as much as in you is. God doesn't ask you for something you don't have. See? Paul is the master of his purpose, but not his circumstances. But he is the master of his purpose. What's my purpose? As much as in me as I'm ready. I can't control my circumstances. I want to come to Rome. The Lord willing, I want a prosperous journey to come to Rome. I want to come to the great metropolis. I want some footage there. And everything that's in me is ready. I'm ready, you see. You and I, ready to discharge your just debt. You know, when I think of this, I think of that little story in John chapter 6. Do you remember that story in John chapter 6 where it says, 5,000 people are hungry in the wilderness, in the desert place, and the disciples said to the Lord, send them away. And the Lord turned to Philip. First of all, he said, I'm not going to send them away. I want you to feed them. He said to Philip, where can we buy meat to feed this whole crowd? Now, if anybody knew where to get bread, it was Philip, because he lived in Bethsaida, which is right the nearest town to the desert. And if anybody knew where he could get bread, it was Philip. And when Andrew heard this, Andrew said, there's a lad here who's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are they among so many? That's all I need. And the astounding thing to me was that the boy gave up his 5 little tortillas, whatever they were, his little barley cakes and his 2 little fish, a boy's lunch. He gave it up. And believe me, that's a miracle. For a boy to give up his lunch, and he's hungry. He's just as hungry as the men around him. But he's willing to give up his lunch because Jesus asked for it. He put his lunch in Jesus' hands, and the Lord took that little lad's lunch, just what a boy gave to him, and he fed the whole 5,000. They were all filled and 12 basketfuls left. What have you got in your hand? 5 loaves, 2 fishes? He said to Moses, what have you got in your hand? A dried up old stick, just a rod, that's enough for God. What have you got in your hand? As much as in me is. You know, too many of us rationalize our unbelief and our disobedience. We alibi. We're too busy. No, Lord, I've got so much to do. I've got so little time. I'm frantic. I have no time for myself. Yes. The only time I can go out and fish is on Sunday. Yes. I just have no time for reading. I haven't even time to read the Bible. No, but you can read your newspapers and your magazines. You can do just what you want to do. Are you going to be able to say with Paul, as much as in me is, I'm ready? I'm ready? His obligation, I'm a debtor. His yieldedness, he's ready to do all he could to discharge his debt. And again I say to you, and I'm stressing this, God doesn't ask you to do anything that can't be done by you. The Spirit of God, and I'm talking to Christians, the Spirit of God indwells you. You have the Son of God in whom God has hidden all his treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. All he wants is you. He'll do the rest. God can take a worm and thrash a mountain. He can take a boy with 6 loaves and feed the crowd. He can take the rod in Moses' hand, put into God's hand, and bring water from the rock and split the Red Sea. What have you got in your hand? Are you going to say with Paul, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also? Now we come to his message, verses 16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of this message from God. Why? Because it's the power of God unto deliverance. The dynamite, as someone has said, the dynamite of God unto deliverance to every one that believeth, whether Jew or Gentile. For in this gospel is revealed the righteousness of God. Let me just stop here for a minute. I am not ashamed. If I might change the wording, I am proud of the gospel from God, the good news from God. I'm proud of it because it does its job. It takes sinners and transform them into saints. It can take rebels and transform them into people of God. I'm not ashamed of a message that's powerful, that can take the vilest of the vile, cleanse them from sin, forgive every trespass, and transform them into the children of God. That's why I repeat that verse from Corinthians chapter 2. We did not come to you in words of man's wisdom. We came with the gospel from God, the good news from God, that your faith may not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This message that reveals the grace of God, but also manifests the guilt of man. And I'm not ashamed, says Paul, of a message that's full of divine power, which can deliver and transform men who will but put their trust in him. Now notice what he says. This good news from God is the power of God unto salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from verses 18 through 24, Paul speaks about the fact that Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto us who are saved, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's as far as I can go today, but I want to emphasize, my friend, you who love the Savior, will you please notice you have an obligation? And the question I ask is, are you ready to do what God wants to do through you? And are you proud of the gospel, the good news from God, or are you ashamed of it? You think this through, will you? I want to take more time on this 16th and 17th verses in our next lesson. But I leave with you, Christian friends, this tremendous obligation of reaching people with the Word of God. Good news from God to men. God has good news for men and women. And the good news is that Christ Jesus came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and he is saving any and all who will come unto him by simple faith and put their trust in him. And you do that today, will you? The Lord bless you.